dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome. You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. You can have everything, playing on your 12 string, going for the brass ring, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. Let your fears fade away and dare to dream.
Hello, Dare to Dreamers. This is Debbie Dashinger, and I welcome you to another show. It's wonderful, wonderful to have you. And I thank you, as always, for writing in and let me know how you're receiving the show and the guests and all the things you're learning and changing. It is such a phenomenal ripple going on right now. And just know that as you change, even though it feels small, it feels like it's your life, it's affecting all of us. So thank you for your contribution to being you, but also to the planet and all you take from the show and put out into the world. I want to talk about maintaining motivation, because there's a lot of goals that people have that are epic. We're not talking about the small ones like take a dance class. We're talking about the monumental ones that can really shift and change things. And people often ask me, well, how do I sustain? How do I maintain? What happens when things go wrong? What happens when I feel X, Y, or Z? So let's look at some leaders right now and talk about what they do. What do they do? How did they get where they are right now? Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post. She teaches to think of failure as a stepping stone to success. I agree so much with this one, and I teach people all the time. It's not about failure. We all fail. Everybody's going to go through it. But it's what you do when you fail. Do you let it define you? Do you think it's you as a person? Do you let it create a belief for you that, oh, well, I'm just a failure. Things are never going to work out, or a repeated experience? Or can you learn? Can you choose instead to say, wow, first, that didn't feel so good and feel your feelings. And second, to ask, what did I bring to the party? What created this mess? Was it someone or something I put my energy into and faith when actually I knew the truth and it wasn't right for me? Or was there something you did that's a pattern and you really need to look at it? It's not working out for you. You need to do something contrary. And the last idea is, what if the only thing failure was about is that you made a decision and you kept heading one way, but you're hitting the wall and you realize, oh, I don't have to make a left. I need to turn around and make a right. That's all that was. Follow that energy instead. So failure is about resistance. Can you get back up? Can you start again? Some of the greatest people in our history have had multiple failures. Athletes. Failures. But what did they do? They picked back up. And then they went on to become the success that they have. And Arianna Huffington says, clearly, drive, IQ, hard work, they are incredibly important. But ultimately, what matters most is resilience, the ability to quickly rebound from failures, indeed to see failure as a stepping stone to success. And what's beautiful about what she's doing, she recognizes the importance of renewing ourselves and creating less stress and more creativity and more fulfillment. And so if we look at what's going on in some places in this country, from classrooms of Harvard Business School, they've got students who learn to better their emotions and understand them. There are corporations like General Mills and Aetna, and they've added meditation, mindfulness training, and yoga to the workplace. And of course, Olympic athletes who have made napping and stress reduction part of their daily routines. And even Huffington Post has 2 nap rooms, 18 lifestyle sections, and they're all centered around the theme less stress, more living. And there's a fellow at NASA, you might recognize him, JPL's Jet Propulsion Laboratory's system engineer, and he has become a celebrity when a photo of him with his mohawk during the team landing of Mars Curiosity, and he just zoomed right up because of his looks there in the control room. And his name is Bobak Ferdowski. Bobak says, make sure to enjoy each small victory along the way. Enjoy the journey. And it's so true, because it's really easy to keep your sights on the major accomplishment, but what's happening? I mean, you're still alive and breathing during the journey. And if you're taking steps, if you're taking action, if you're making shifts and changes, if you're seeing things come up, little things, celebrate, acknowledge, let yourself know what a great job you're doing. Be your biggest cheerleader. And Rushi Sanghvi is VP of Operations at Dropbox. He says, don't let fear hold you back. Fear of failure can be a big obstacle to success, he says, but it should be dealt with simply by powering through. I agree. There are some fears we do have to deal with, some fears that do paralyze us, and then it's good to seek help, somebody who's a little more extraordinary in that realm than you're currently capable of, and they can absolutely see it through to the other side. But the other thing is, sometimes fear just is. Sometimes it's just an energy, and it's really informing when you still look at fear but don't do what you've done in the past, which is to back down and give up and go, give over your power. Instead, just acknowledge that fear is there. It probably was put there by you at some point to protect you. It doesn't make sense anymore because there's nothing really to protect you from if it's your dream. Learn to power through, because if you keep moving forward, it dissipates. It really does. And you learn how limitless you truly, truly are. So I just want everybody to feel compelled, I hope, to do something that's going to transcend yourself. There are so many ways we can show up, so many cool lessons on the path toward our dream. So remember that failure is a stepping stone. Be resilient. It's a great tool. You are so much stronger than you give yourself credit. Enjoy the journey, each small victory along the way. Keep things in perspective, and then challenges are easier to overcome. And remember, you can always handle more than you give yourself credit for. Be bigger than your challenges. Power through the fear by working hard, and always remember to ask for help when you need it. And we're waiting for you. Impactful work that's authentic to you, that's going to transcend you, and then ultimately, of course, transcend us as well. Thank you for joining the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream. I am so grateful to have you all here. And my guest is coming back. This is yet another part in our 6-week series, Dr. Dane here. And tonight we're going to be talking about finding your body, your best buddy. Woohoo! I love this subject. Dane is an international speaker, an author, and facilitator of advanced access consciousness workshops worldwide. His unique and transforming points of view on bodies, money, future, sex, and relationships transcend everything currently being taught. Dr. Here travels the world facilitating classes. He hosts a regular radio show on 2 networks, and has been a guest of multiple radio and TV shows. He was featured on the cover of Insight magazine and is the author of 9 books on the topics of embodiment, healing, money, and relationships, including his latest book, Being You, Changing the World. For more information, go to his website. It's Dr. Dane Heer, HEER.com, or also deborahdashinger.com/access. That's deborahdashinger.com/access. And Dr. Dane, it's great to have you back on Dare to Dream.
Oh, Debbie, it's great to be with you again on Dare to Dream. I'm kind of like a bad penny. It's like no matter where you try to put it, it keeps coming back.
You just keep coming back. Well, we like to have your type of bacteria here, so thank you for making another appearance.
Bad penny, not bacteria.
Bad
I don't know
penny,
what kind of bacteria you're thinking. but I don't think I want to be associated with that kind of bacteria. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Sorry, wrong reference. Okay. So, yeah, well, I was thinking bacteria because it grows, and, you know, sometimes you take penicillin and it still comes back and haunts you. Even yogurt and culture doesn't get rid of Dr. Dane. Okay, you're the best kind.
I'm like an antibiotic-resistant bad penny. I got it. Okay, no problem.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And how's your body doing? You've been all around the world. How is it feeling these days?
And I am sometimes amazed at what our body, well, not sometimes, I'm actually many times amazed at what our bodies have the capacity for. I mean, if I look at my body and what my body does, it's like, you know, we travel probably 3.5 weeks out of the month and work anywhere between, I don't know, 10 and 14 hours a day, depending on the day, and have a lot of demands, a lot of people and all that sort of stuff. And yet it still actually has a sense of ease with it. And, you know, when we get into this subject about bodies, there are a lot of people that have a lot of different points of view that they picked up along the way, and a lot of fixed points of view that people have told them about what they're not supposed to do and what they are supposed to do. And what I found is when you have a connection with your body and you actually care for it and have gratitude for it and actually start asking it what it likes, you find out that a lot of what people are telling you actually isn't true for you and your body. It's just a matter of finding out what that is for you.
I have certainly found that with age. There's no doubt. I know I look extremely young for what my real age is. And now that I'm sure everybody's wondering what that age is. Okay, it's 75. I look fabulous.
Have you seen the movie Cocoon? Well, guess what? Yes, like
and that. Exactly. But I guess I somewhere inside do have my own take on what that's all about, because I feel like I'm aging really better beyond my wildest dreams.
Yeah, well, I think what it is, like you said, you have your own take, and you, so because you know you have your own take, even though you probably never thought about it until people started commenting or you started looking around, it's like that's part of what allows you to have your own sort of connection with your body, your own reality. It's like, what is your reality? What is your point of view with your body? And that's what I'd like people also to be able to get to, is to start to access that magic that occurs when you and your body have a connection, where it's not about everybody else and their fixed points of view and, oh, you're not supposed to eat this and you're not supposed to drink this and you're not supposed to go out in the sunlight on Thursdays in a full moon because it could lead to damaging microcosmic rays from the city of Pluto that is on, yeah, I mean, the weirdest crap in the world, you know? I mean, it's like, I cannot tell you the number of things that people have that they act are real points of view that you should have that have nothing to do with you. And, you know, the first thing to get is what's true always makes you feel lighter. A lie always makes you feel heavier. And so basically it's like, if it makes you feel lighter, it's true for you and your body. It's just a matter of doing enough practice to find out what that is so you can be aware of it when your body's asking for something that's different, perhaps, than the fixed points of view you've had in the past about what it should be.
Well, you know, the title that you picked for this, Body and Best Buddy, it just made me want to cry. It's so beautiful. Best Buddy. How long have we've all been walking around our bodies? We say terrible, mean things to them often, don't appreciate the enormity of what our bodies give to us every single day. So body, best friend, that's big.
So true. And you know, it's exactly that. It's like, imagine if your body were your best buddy. It's like your body is kind of, it's a lot more like an animal. You know how like a dog, for example, it's like, you know, you're having a really bad day and you kick your dog, I hope you don't kick your dog, but you know, you get the energy of that. Or you yell at your dog or something and your dog just looks at you like, what did I do wrong? I'm sorry. And they come over and they nuzzle you and they try to make you feel better all the time because that's their nature. Well, what if that's the nature of your body too? And there's a lot of stuff that we've done to believe that that's not the case, to believe that instead somehow there's something wrong or judgeable about our bodies. But what if there isn't? What if there's actually a greatness to embodiment and a greatness to having our bodies that we've never acknowledged, that we've never actually taught ourselves to look for? And what I found in doing this access consciousness work with a lot of people over the last 13 years is that the results that I couldn't create with chiropractic, I can actually create by getting people to connect with their bodies in a different way and connect with the thing that's there, that beautiful thing that's there called your body that a lot of us ignore.
So then what contribution is our body to our life?
Well, I'd say it depends on what contribution you're willing to allow it to be. I think your body's actually kind of like one of these friends that some of us have been lucky enough to have over the course of our lives. And even if we haven't had one, we've seen them in movies at least, where they just care for you. They don't have a point of view. They're there for you if you're willing to come to them. And they're also totally willing to have you have whatever judgment or point of view you need to have about them until you're willing to be smart enough to get over it. And until then, they're just willing to be there, just being. And so what contribution can they be? I think it's weird because a lot of people have talked to me about, oh, I feel like I'll be alone if I don't have a relationship. I feel like I'm alone because I'm the only one who's this different. I feel like I'll be alone if. And I realize that our bodies could be basically our best friends energetically. It's like if we allowed it, our bodies could actually be a source of consciousness. They could be a source of awareness. They could be a source of joy, a source of pleasure, a source of change, and a source of contribution that we get from few people in our lives, but they're just naturally that energy. And I know it sounds weird because we think, well, wait a minute, aren't I my body? Well, so when somebody asks me that, I say, okay, so do me a favor. So everybody listening, as long as you're not driving, go ahead and close your eyes for a moment. If you are driving and you close your eyes, you might do better in LA traffic. I don't know. We'll find out. If you're driving, probably don't close your eyes. Do it without your eyes closed. Okay, but close your eyes if you can. And right now, go out and touch the outside edges of you, not your body, you. Just energetically, go out as far as you can that you know is sort of like the end point of you. And some people find that, wow, it's at the end of my car, or the end of my house, or some people are like, wow, it's like the end point of the planet. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was this big. So wherever that is for you, just observe it for a moment. Just notice what you notice. And now go out 100 yards further in all directions. And are you there too? Now go out 100 miles further in all directions. Are you there too? Now go out 100,000 miles further in all directions and see if you can touch into that space. Even though it may seem weird, are you there too? And 99% of people, when I do this with them, they're like, oh my gosh, I was everywhere you said. I'm like, yeah, that's because you as a being are an infinite being. And this is sort of a practical example of it. But your body, and so what happens is your body's actually inside of you. You're not inside of your body like you've been pretending. And it's a common point of view we have that we're inside of our bodies, but guess what? What if you're not? What if your body's inside of you? And what if that means that you, the being, have these amazing capacities to access, pardon me, my English, you know, sometimes my English goes funky. You actually have this capacity to access more energy, more space, more consciousness, more awareness than you've ever given yourself credit for. So what your body should be is a contribution to that and an example of what it could be like to actually enjoy being here on this planet.
That is the most calming exercise. I should do that every day because it brings me so back to peace and to who I really be.
Right? Isn't it wonderful? It's like, oh, and it does. That's exactly what it does. And the thing is, you as a being should be occupying this much space. Like, you know, I said 100,000 miles in all directions or 200 or 300. And just that, if you just take even 60 seconds and go, okay, I'm going to allow the space I occupy to occupy my house. Okay, cool. And now the city. Okay, cool. And now the state. Cool. Now my country. Cool. And now the earth. Cool. And now even further. Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. And further and further and further. Wow. Okay. That feels great. Because that's actually acknowledging more of the energy that you are. And the thing is, if you did this and then also were like, wow, if you function from here, how much more energy could you just be that would contribute to your body? And how much more could your body contribute to you, its awareness of what needs to be done, for example, to change it? Because a lot of people, the reason they judge their bodies is, you know, it's like, oh, well, this is too big. And, you know, a lot of people start their day with a litany of judgment. We're like, oh, this is too big. This is too small. These are too wrinkly. Oh my God, I can't even believe these exist. These are just the ugliest things on the planet. I can't. Where did I get? These are my mother's. God, where? Oh my God, I can't. Oh geez, you know. And it's like, and literally, they start their day this way. And you know, it makes sense because we learned it from some very wonderful people called our parents.
Oh my God. Do you know, we had my mom over the other day. And my mother is a normal-sized woman, and she looked so darling, and we walked her back to her car after dinner, and I was telling her, Mom, you look so great, and my boyfriend was saying, you look wonderful, and she did, oh, that she always does it, with a sigh, and then she starts to tell you, what's wrong, we don't want to know, we don't see it. But she goes there, and she has so much disdain for her body. And I think, how sad to be driving in that vehicle, that human vehicle, and you don't even see what we see. But it's so normal, and she looks great.
Yeah.
And I wish I could give her the gift of my sight, you know?
Yes, so true. And, you know, and that's, I think, you know, that's one of the things that we have continuously experience that we've continuously learned over and over and over is the way that we're supposed to be. And like you said, my mom is a normal sized person, you know, but she can't see that. All she can see is through the eyes of her judgments. And so what I would invite people to do is realize, look, you bought a lot of stuff where you're looking through the eyes of other people's judgments. But what if that didn't have to be your reality anymore? What if you could look and go, wow, I learned to look through the eyes of judgment from some people that I really cared about, that I really trusted, whose job it was to show me how to function in this reality. I didn't realize that they didn't really know how to function in this reality. So I learned, you know, it's like learning math from the dunce in the class. You know, it's like you don't want to go learn math from the class idiot who doesn't know math. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But what we've done is to learn how to function with our bodies from the people who knew it least, but we came to them, so we decided that somehow they must have some awareness, they must have some value that we don't have. What if they don't? What if you chose these people because you wanted to actually find out on your own what life reality in having a body could be? What if you chose them because you're like, well, you know what? They don't have it, so I'm going to have to figure it out on my own, and that suits me just fine because that's my personality anyway.
That's interesting. You know, Gary Douglas talks about ask your body what it wants, ask your body what it would like to look like. And I started looking through a gazillion magazines just to see and look on the street. And there was only one common denominator I found with everything that called to me is that I energetically could feel the model was completely at peace and comfortable in her body. It wasn't about a type or a shape or a size. It was just, you could feel she was so at home. And I thought, that's what I want. That's what I want
wow.
to see. I want
okay,
that ease, right?
Well, and the fact that you found a model that had that is a minor or a major miracle. I mean, do you realize how many models hate their bodies?
Right.
They're a
it's
tool
true.
For them. I mean, hate. I mean, if you look at models on a runway and you watch them stomping around, it's like, you know, and I know that, you know, and so I realize I'm breaking paradigm here because, number one, nobody talks about this. Number two, nobody ever talks about it from this place. You know, people talk about it and go, oh my gosh, they're so sexy. I'm like, what is sexy about somebody who hates their body so much they will stomp it around and believe it's a piece of meat just to be used to make money or become famous? There's no caring. There's no joy. There's no love. There's no gratitude for bodies in that. And so what I would say is to the people who have looked at models, for example, and judged themselves as not getting it the way the model does, will you destroy and create all that, please? Because you probably have way more connection to your body than a model ever would for most models.
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. Now, that's an access clearing statement. I'm assuming that if you've been with us this long, you've heard it, and probably some of you haven't. But basically, it's just a way of changing anything that you've desired to change in your life. It's asking the energy to go back to where you locked these weird fixed points of view in place that you've wanted to change for a long time and actually ask them to undo and unlock so you don't have to live bound and stuck by this stuff anymore. That's all it's about. But so, Debbie, you were talking about, you actually perceived a model who was actually connected to her body and actually had a gratitude for it, had a connection with it. I think that's amazing.
Yes, because I could feel in all the pages, like, no. And it was there was a few of them that was just like, ah, you could feel how cool it was to be in their skin. And I thought, I love that. That's what I want. And then, of course, we explored it. I recently took the Access Body class, and that was something that came up there, too. And that was really fun conversation, you know. I was able to go, Jessica Rabbit, that's my idol. I'm not so far off, you know. We're there already.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you're not, you know. It's interesting because, I mean, if you look at one little character who loved her body, sure, she was fake and made up. But, you know, it's like, I mean, she's like, hello, this is the sexiest thing on the planet. Don't you want some of this? You know what I mean? But she owned it. Maybe she loved it. But she also wasn't doing it from a meanness or an unkindness, which is an interesting thing because I think one of the things that a lot of us have grown up around is people being not nice to bodies, people, you know, being unkind, being abusive, trying to control people with them. But what if there's a totally different possibility available? What if our bodies truly are like that sweet dog who just loves you and they're just wanting to be acknowledged, they're just wanting to be loved, and they're just wanting to be asked, hey, body, how do I change this? Because a lot of us have things we want to change. Maybe our tummy's too big. Maybe our boobies are too small. Maybe we have too much flab in a certain area or something. Maybe we have too many wrinkles. The way to change it, truly, to start, is to go, hey, body, what's it going to take to change this? Like, there was a lady who was actually working with my friend Gary, the founder of Access Consciousness, and she had been to a class that he was delivering on how to change your body shape and size. And he said to her, look, and he said actually to the whole class, he said, look, there's diets don't work for your body unless they do. There's certain things that will work for your body. There are most things won't, but your body knows. And she sort of pondered it for a while, and she went, okay, I'm going to use this tool. And she said, body, what's it going to take to change this excess weight? And she had been, you know, I don't know, probably 70, 80, 90 pounds more than she wanted to be for a long, long time, or 100 pounds overweight. And she said, body, what's it going to take to change this? She was walking down the streets of New York, and she heard these people talking about this diet plan, and her body just about jumped over the park bench to find out what they were talking about. And she goes up to them rather circumspect, excuse me, I heard you talking about this. Could you tell me what it is? You know, not wanting them to know that her body was about to jump all over them to get the information. And she got the diet. She did it, even though she had tried so many diets in the past and it never worked. And she literally started losing weight and it stayed off. But that was because it was her body telling her, look, here's what I want. Because you are not your body. That's why I did that exercise about expanding out. You are not your body. Your body's not you. You should have a great connection, but it actually has a consciousness and an awareness of its own. And a lot of people are now talking about this, even though they never have in the past. A lot of people are now talking about this that actually deal with bodies who are saying, hey, ask your body for everything that concerns it. Well, we've been talking about this for 20 years, roughly, in Access. And it's interesting to see the world come around and go, oh, that's a good idea. You know, it's like, okay, cool. The part that's important to me is that the world's actually changing to acknowledge that things have consciousness beyond what we thought they did, our bodies included.
I'm reading your book right now. This one is Sex is Not a Four-Letter Word, written by you and Gary Douglas. And there is a quote in there that says, any area of your life that isn't ease, joy, and glory is where you have a lack of consciousness or awareness. It is not possible to become fully conscious without bringing your body along for the ride. Will you address that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. See, our body is such a part of what we're here with, what we're here to do, what we're here to be. And so what happens in that is, unless you're willing to bring your body along for the ride, it truly doesn't involve everything that you have the connection to and access to. For so many lifetimes, you know, and whether you believe in past lives or not, you can look at this perspective. It's like, for so many lifetimes and for so many thousands of years, what we've been told is, oh, the way to enlightenment is to leave your body. Your body's a piece of meat. It's the reason you have problems. No, it's not. It's your judgments that are the reason you have problems. It's also the reason you have problems with your body. It's also the reason you won't have money. It's also the reason your sex life sucks. Oh, by the way, the more you judge your body, the more your sex life sucks. And the more you judge your body, the more you get depressed. The more you judge your body, the less likely you are to have a successful relationship. The more you judge your body, the less likely you are to have money, because you're in a constant state of judgment. So consciousness truly is where everything exists and nothing is judged. What if you realize that what your body is asking you for is, hey, can we please go beyond judgment now? It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for you. Can we please do something different? And what if that's that gentle, insistent energy that your body is having for you? And the thing is, you can't truly have consciousness and possibilities that are truly available if you don't bring your body along. Because what happens is, if you're in constant state of judgment of it, you're in constant state of judgment of one of the sources of the greatest capacity of non-judgment that you have. And so what most of us have been taught, which is judge in the morning, judge in the afternoon, judge at night, and then try to be happy. Our body is showing us, no, stop judgment and you'll be happy and you won't have to worry about the judging in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. You could just stop right now and it'll be okay.
Ouch. Not nice.
Yeah, truly. It's not nice to us and it's not nice to our bodies. So one of the things that you can do is you can actually go, wait a minute. Like when you notice yourself starting with that litany of judgment, just go, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to stop. And you can use the access clearing statement on that, which I alluded to earlier and sort of threw it in for people, which is basically pock and pod all that. The short form is pock and pod, which stands for going back to the point of creation of wherever you decided judgment was a good idea, whether it was last week, whether it was when you were five, whether it was when you were in utero, or whether it was some other lifetime. I don't know. I don't really care. But what it does, it actually goes back to the point of creation of where that germinal point of view started and ask it to unlock by changing the polarity of it. And when you undo the polarity of something, the sticky stuff no longer has a capacity to exist. And so what you're doing, next time you start judging you or your body, just see a stop sign or a hand and just go, stop. And make the demand that you're going to stop and then go pock and pod everything that makes me do that. And you may not think anything of it, but what will happen is you do it enough times, you'll notice that it becomes infinitely easier to stop judging you. Infinitely easier, as in you'll just look and go, stop, and it'll all of a sudden stop. And you'll be like, wait a minute, I didn't think I could ever stop that. And all of a sudden it's gone. But that's one of the invitations our body is creating for us that a lot of us have never been taught. And it's not that we want to be mean to our bodies. It's not that we want to be mean to ourselves. We've just never been taught that this is a viable option for how we can create things, how we can create our lives, how we can create our worlds. But what if it is?
What if it is? Well, we're going to take a very quick break. This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream. I am speaking with Access Consciousness co-founder Dr. Dane here on Bodies and our best buddy. We'll be back in two.
I'd like to invite you all to a little thing called magic. It's you. You're the magic in the world. You know what? You got to know your magic, because how many times have you driven someplace and got there before you should have? How many times have you had something show up in your life that you really wanted just as if it was by magic? You're the creator of all that. So, magic, you are it, be it. It's a book. It's a possibility. And check out magic, you are it, be it. .com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, I'm interviewing the Access Consciousness co-founder, Dr. Dane Heer. Dr. Dane and I have put together a special package for you, and it's located at deborahdashinger.com/access. And Dane was so kind. He contributed something called Welcome to Paradise, which is an amazing MP3. And we've also got 4 additional downloadables, which is Being the Potency of Why You're Here and Exploring All the Issues That May Get in the Way. And also my best-selling book, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts. Again, if you want to get all of these items in one fell swoop at a big discount, go to deborahdashinger.com/access. And we're back now with more with Dane. And Dane, it's interesting. Gary Douglas also said, quote from him, is that until we get the greatness of embodiment, we are destined to return to Earth again and again until we get it. Once we truly get the greatness of embodiment, then we have a chance and a choice about coming back here or not. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, and basically it's like this. It's like what happens is there's actually a greatness to these bodies that we have. And the body being one part of embodiment. See, the weird thing is embodiment doesn't just include your body, because your body doesn't exist in its own insular universe. It's actually part of this reality. And so what happens is embodiment means your body and this reality and all of it. So if you were to realize, see, what we do, going back to what we talked about before, we spend so much of our lives judging. I mean, that's what we're taught from moment one. And it's so sad to me. I mean, I see, oh gosh, it's like I see parents with their little kids, and I see some parents, I see these parents who've been to Access who are so different with their kids, because rather than, oh, this is right and this is wrong, and sort of like imposing this really harsh point of view on their kids about, oh, if you're going to be a good girl, you need to do this, which is teaching them to judge whether they're good or bad. And I see Access parents asking them questions. Look, if you do that, do you realize it's going to hurt? If you do that, is it going to work out for you? And even a 2-year-old knows it's not going to work because they have that level of knowing. And so what I've seen in, you know, with so many people who have kids is they do it like their parents did it because they've never been shown anything else. And a lot of times that involves a lot of harshness. It involves a lot of judgment. It involves no question. It involves the parent being right. And they're supposedly showing this unaware little child what to do. And then on the other hand, I've seen people who realize the child already has awareness, that there's not an age at which somebody becomes an infinite being. Children are infinite beings in small bodies. They don't need to be talked to as though they're unaware. They need to be talked to as though they are aware so they can open up that awareness. Well, when you do that for you and for your body, and when you undo where it hasn't been done for you, you start to get that there's a greatness of being here on this planet. There's a greatness of having this beautiful body that you have. There's actually a wonder in it, a beauty in it, a joy in it. And I know, you know, as I speak about that, some people can go, oh yeah, your head is totally in the clouds and you don't get what happens in this reality on Earth where people have to pay bills. And I'm like, actually, I do. I get it real dynamically. I not only experienced what people would call horrendous abuse when I was a kid. I mean, I was the only white kid living in the ghetto when I was a little kid. And literally, I used to have this joke, there were 3 colors where I grew up. There was brown, there was black, and there was me. I was the only white kid for 8 square miles. And I experienced horrendous emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. At one point, my little naked boy body was beaten with belts by a group of women standing over me who hated men and wanted me to know that being a man was a bad thing. And so it's like, it's not that I don't get that there are practicalities that need to be handled here. What I do get and what I do realize and what I am aware of is there's a totally different way of handling even the practicalities. And that's what I want people to know. So when you talk about Gary saying you need to get the greatness of embodiment before you actually have a choice to come back or not, it's really true. It's like you have to get that there's a greatness in us having these bodies. There's a greatness in what we can choose. There's a greatness in the fact that we can choose. And the weird part is, I know so many people who are looking for change, and what they don't realize is, what if
What if you realize that you've chosen the life you've chosen for some wonderful reason? That you've chosen the life you've chosen for some amazing, phenomenal reason that maybe nobody else will ever get. But rather than looking at you as wrong for choosing the parents you've chosen, choosing the situations in your life you've chosen, choosing the abuse you've chosen, what if you chose it on purpose? What if you knew there was a greatness to it that you haven't ever acknowledged? And what if you chose it so you could get to whatever you wanted to get to for you that would allow you to realize how wonderful it could be to be alive? Like, for example, having experienced what some would call horrendous abuse, I look and I used to think, before looking from this place, I used to think, wow, you know what? That destroyed my caring and my joy and my willingness to have a great life and living. And now I look and I go, you know what? Oh, no. No, 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 no. This reality has thrown at me pretty much the worst it can, and I stared it in the face and did not blink. Mm. And in so doing, I got more of me. What if the same is true for you? What if the same is true for you listening, whether you've had, you know, body dysmorphic issues, whether you've had body disfigurement, whether you've had abuse, whether you've just been so aware of other people's judgments that you thought it was you judging you your whole life and you've just been that aware? What if it's true for you too? What if this reality hasn't destroyed you? What if it's actually invited you to be you and to know you in a way nothing else could have?
There's a beautiful quote from Pema Chodron that says, it's also helpful to realize that this very body that we have that's sitting right here, right now, with its aches and its pleasures, is exactly what we need to be fully human, fully awake, fully alive. It feels like that speaks to what you're talking about. No matter what has occurred, it's really all about choice, isn't it? No matter what we've experienced. And I appreciate the story you share because it's true. In the face of that level of abuse, you could decide many things, but you're one of the most caring people I know. So it's amazing that you've come out of that being so uber caring and joyous.
Thank you. Well, it is. It's choice. It's like, and the thing is, I would like everybody to know, even, you know, if you're sitting out there and you're like, I've experienced this and this and this, and I just want to close into my shell and compress, and I don't want anybody to know, and I don't want to be reached, you know, like put up all the walls and barriers. It doesn't have to be that way. And I understand personally, believe me, I understand. And it truly doesn't have to be that way. And what if your body is beckoning to you and going, it's okay. I know we experience stuff, but you know what? It's okay. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. I have your back. I will look out for you. And what if you could do the same for your sweet body? And what if in doing that, what if you could start to realize, wow, look who I actually am. Look, that I would be willing to have someone's back. I thought I was somebody who just deserved abuse. What if I'm actually somebody who cares far more no matter what abuse I've experienced? And the interesting thing is that what I've seen with so many people is what's been very confusing for them is that they care even for the people that abuse them. And then they go to somebody who tells them they're not supposed to care for that person because it shows them they're weak. And I'm like, no, it actually shows you how strong you are. That you could have somebody abuse you, and what this reality tells you is you're supposed to hate them and you're supposed to fight them and you're supposed to be in resistance to them forever, but you care. That is a far greater acknowledgement of your strength and your capacity than hating someone and resisting and reacting to it. And at the same time, there is a point to draw the line and go, no more, this is not happening. So you want to have it all. See, and I think our bodies actually know this, but we're never asking them. We're never going, hey, body, what do you know about this? It would help me. So everybody out there, from now on, here's just a couple real simple things. Just ask your body, hey, body, what do you know about this that can help me? And just throw that question out there and then go on with your day. And then you'll get an awareness in a day or a week or a month or an hour or 10 seconds that will be something that opens your eyes and you're like, wait a minute, was that from my body? Yeah, you just asked your body. It will give you the information.
Awesome. Great question. And how can our bodies tell us secrets, mysteries, magic? How can we get there? Like a compass or a guide?
Yeah, and such a great question. And I think the beginning of that
is actually to start creating a communication with our bodies, which unfortunately is something that a lot of people have really resisted because they've thought of their bodies as a source of judgment. They've thought of their bodies as a source of abuse. They thought of their bodies as a source of non-spirituality. In other words, they've been told in so many lifetimes that your body is a bad thing, and it's, you know, these carnal desires that you have are really bad and wrong, so you're not spiritual or you're not religious. Or, but you know what? What if that's all lies? What if every single one of those things about you shouldn't have pleasure with your body, you shouldn't touch it, you shouldn't enjoy it, what if those are all lies? Because when you think about it, what's true, once again, what's true makes you feel lighter, a lie makes you feel heavier. So how many of you in how many lifetimes have been part of religions or are currently part of a religion or part of spiritual practices that basically told you that your body was just a piece of meat and you should kick it to the curb and it had no value and you, the spiritual being, had value? Everything you've done to buy that and in so doing destroy the connection with this beautiful body of yours, will you destroy and uncreate it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and meons. Whew, that's got some energy to it. Apparently people have done that quite a bit. And that would also explain why people have so many judgments of their bodies and feel justified in the judgment that they heap on their bodies. But don't you realize that when you judge your body, you don't feel lighter ever. You always feel heavier. So what if literally you were to take this real simple tool that I suggested at the beginning and just see a hand or a stop sign when you notice yourself judging your body, because it doesn't ever make you feel lighter, and just go stop, and then pock and pot everything that makes me want to judge it. And literally what will happen is if you do that enough, you'll break the cycle. It's an ongoing cycle that's been going for a very long time. And strangely enough, this is actually the answer to your question, Debbie, because the thing is, when you're judging your body, you can't get the information it has to offer. The only thing you can create is separation from it. So in addition to stopping the judgment of your body, the next thing that you want to do is you want to start asking it for everything that concerns it. So for example, your body wears clothes. You as the being don't. If you didn't have a body, you wouldn't wear clothes. You wouldn't need them. What are you going to hang your clothes on when you're a being? Okay? Right? So, like, they realize that your body wears clothes. Your body eats. You as a being don't. If you didn't have a body, would you need to eat? No. Well, you have a body, so your body. So you want to go, hey, body, what would you like to eat? Body, what would you like to buy at the store? And literally, when you're at a restaurant, close your eyes, close the menu, ask your body, body, what would you like to eat? Open the menu, open your eyes, and look at the first thing your body focuses on, the first thing your eyes focus on. That's what your body wants to eat. And it'll be this process of getting some things right, getting some things wrong. But the way you know it was what your body wanted to eat is when it tastes orgasmic. You'll put it in your mouth and it'll be like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. That's how you know you're following what your body wants. Same thing with clothing. Hey, body, what would you like to wear? Body, what kind of clothes would you like to buy? I started this, 13 years ago when I got it from Gary in a class, in a body class he was doing that I was attending. And literally, a few weeks later, I was walking by this Banana Republic store, and I'd never been to Banana Republic in my life, and I saw this white linen shirt in the window. And it was like the light of heaven was shining on this shirt, and I was like, oh my God. You know, because I'd asked my body, body, what would you like to wear? And I hadn't seen anything. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, I walk by this one store, because apparently my body didn't want anything else that I had seen. And I walk by this one store where this linen shirt is, and I'll never forget it, this white linen shirt. I walked in, I put it on, and it was like my body was singing. And it looked so good. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely got to get this thing. And so I put it on, and I wore it out, and I was like, wow. And I can't even begin to describe the energy, but that's, what if there's more of that available to you just in the clothing you wear and the food you eat than you've ever thought possible? And then when you add the next element of that, which is body, what movement would you like to do? Because your body doesn't like to exercise. When your body hears exercise, it thinks of the movie with Linda Blair with the green projectile vomit that's kicking you out of the out of the body. It doesn't want to exercise. That's no fun, okay? Don't say, what exercise would you like to do? It's like, I don't want a priest. I don't want you to leave. I just only got connected with you. What are you doing? Go! Body, what kind of movement would you like to do?
And your body, and you'll get an idea. You'll be like running, swimming, sex, whatever it is for you. It might be walking around the block. But whatever it is, your body loves to move. It loves to have great food, and it loves to have clothes that look really good on it. And also, this is going to be strange for some of you, but your body actually likes to be lusted after. Okay? Mm-hmm. Your body loves it when you're looking good, feeling good, and strutting its stuff, and people are looking at it going, wow, that's beautiful. Now, no, it doesn't necessarily like that energy of that weird stuff that people project at you, which is why a lot of you have cut off looking attractive to other people. But what it does like is that energy of, wow, you're really attractive. What if you were willing to dress even more for that than you have been while not needing it? What if you realized it was a contribution to your body too? And instead of judging it, what if you could receive the energy of it as a contribution to your body rather than going, oh, I can't believe those people are thinking that about me?
Wow. That was potent. So from this great conversation, Dane, I think, is it safe to say that beauty is not in the eye of the beholder, but rather beauty is realizing that we are the beholder?
Absolutely. And also beauty can be perceived beyond the presence of judgment.
Meaning that beauty, even the word beauty or beautiful, is even a judgment?
Well, it is in some people's eyes. It is in some people's worlds. And so certain people go, oh, well, this body type is beautiful and this body type isn't. For me, all bodies are beautiful. The only thing that makes an ugliness in anybody's world is the intensity of judgments that they live from. You know, so if you look, it's so interesting because I see some people who are large and, man, just absolutely beautiful and sexy and gorgeous. And I just, like, I would hang out with them anytime. And I see some people who are large and really mean and unkind and judgmental, and I would not want to hang out with them ever. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care what your body looks like. It's like, what's the level of judgment in your head? Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about beauty, and when you realize true beauty is truly realizing you are the beholder, and you're also the chooser. You're also the creator and generator of what occurs. And what if you realize it's not your body shape that determines that? It's how grateful you are for this sweet body of yours. But also realize that there's not very much of that in the world. But what if you're here to change the world? What if you're not here to live in this world as it is and perpetrate more of it on more people and act like you're here to get it right too? What if you're here to change it? What if you're here to make it greater than it was yesterday? Simply by the choices you make, by what you know is possible that nobody else does. Does it make you feel lighter or heavier? And what if you realize that that's the gift that you are to all of us, realizing that something needs to change here and that the real simple steps you can take, like enjoying your body and coming out of judgment of it and enjoying your life and stopping judgment when it comes up, are actually the simple steps that you can take that will literally change the world around us.
I just have to breathe that in for a minute because that was so, that was beautiful. That really feels so good. And from the beginning where we started, where we reconnected with being the infinite through all the ways we do judge ourselves and sort of torture ourselves to where we can choose a body, where we can understand what's light and what's heavy, what's ours and what's not. And all the ways that we can just love this amazing vehicle that's taking us so strongly through life. Is there anything you would like to have listeners take away, Dane, from your interview?
So much. A few things. Number one, what if it's okay to stop the judgment of your body and actually enjoy it? Please use that tool of stopping it. That's first. Number two, what if your body is actually a contribution to you in the life you'd like to create, and it's awareness of what actually is lighter for you, because that's true, and what's heavier for you, because that's a lie, or what's not true, or what's not going to work out for you? And what if you actually have far greater capacity to know these things than you've ever acknowledged? And also, what if you, truly being you, are the gift and the change this world requires? What if that awareness you have that goes beyond this reality of what's possible is what this world needs right now? Will you make the demand in your world that no matter what it takes, that's going to show up for you and for all of us. And everything that doesn't allow it, will you destroy and uncreate it and undo it, please?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons. And I know we have the second part next time we get together, and on that we'll give more practical tools. I know this was a bit of a sort of philosophical discussion, perhaps, for some people, but I'd like you to have that, and then we can get into the practicalities of how do we actually literally create this and actualize it in our lives next time we get together.
Beautiful. And yes, on our part two in this body series, we will be taking callers, and Dane will be working directly with people on bodies. And be sure to tune in for that, because as our last conversation, it blew me out of the water. We had people call in our last conversation, and the bottom line is we changed people's lives. Without a doubt, I got so many emails after that radio show from the callers who had called in and were sharing miracles that had occurred for them. One woman who had zero connection, I don't know if you remember Sabrina that you work with, had zero connection with her family and was just distraught. Oh, we were working on depression. That's what it was. And Dane, you worked with her. And it was such a great benefit for all of us who listened in and also received all of that energy clearing. And Sabrina wrote in just days later that her whole family had reconnected with her, invited her over. She had reestablished relationships. And, I mean, this was a different person writing. And other people who had tuned in who just said, thank you. You don't know what that meant to me and what's going on because of it. So please tune in to hear Dane working directly with people, because it'll blow your mind and change your life. Thank you, Dane.
Thank you.
And I end today's show with this quote from Victoria Moran. Growing into your future requires a dedication to caring for yourself as if you were rare and precious, which you are, and regarding all of life around you as equally so, which it is. A special thanks to my guest, Dr. Dane here. And for more information, go to deborahdashinger.com/access.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, email Debbie at indie100.com. That's D-E-B-B-I at I-N-D-I-E-100.com. Keep your excellent comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert in goal achievement, a radio and TV personality, featured in magazines, a best-selling author, and keynote speaker. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to www.deborahdashinger.com. That's www.deborahdashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, and products teaching the secret steps to make your dream come true. Get Debbie's best-selling book, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, on Amazon and at bookstores. Listen for the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dreams will manifest. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?